Leihani, we love you. We thank God for Leihani being home and in recovery. I just love that picture, if y'all seen it on GroupMe, of Juan kissing his wife. I thought that was so cute. All I could think of was my Sleeping Beauty story of the prince waking her up. But we know God woke her up first, but the kiss was just so sweet. Also, we want to thank God for it's Leah's birthday, Alonzo, so making sure that you let her know. Happy birthday, Leah. We're so glad for that. We are so glad for Ajene. I do that all the time. I call them interchangeable. But Ajene and Corey anniversary. Come on, let's. One year, y'all. And that year went so fast. I was just thinking about it when I saw it on GroupMe. I was thinking, we was just sitting there at her wedding and her reception. It seemed like a month ago. And here she is a year. Does it seem like a month ago? It seems like a month ago. She said, okay. But I thank God, because one thing, let's celebrate that, because a lot of marriages are failing. Marriage is work. And you got to be willing to put in the work. A marriage is acceptance. And you've got to learn to accept the other person while God is working on them. And one thing I look at is that too many marriages are giving up before the partners are mature. Because we thought we were so mature when we got married. But the thing was, we was just beginning to grow. And as we grow, we're just beginning to grow. We've not been in that situation before. We've been selfish by ourselves, doing our, now we bring two people together, trying to make them one, and you're just beginning to grow. And so I say, hang on in there, and hang on in there with God, because God has something great that he wants to do. I don't want to miss. Who did I miss? I don't want to miss. Oh, Amanda. Let's pray for Amanda. God bless them to go to Spokane. She's on her way back, and we want to pray traveling mercies that they get back. He already let them get there. Hallelujah. And so we want to continue to pray. And then I wanted to say, it's so sweet, you guys. You know, my Bailey's gone. I miss my Bailey and JoJo, and they're gone. But one of the sweetest things is that at 11 o'clock every day since Bailey has left, Bailey put on our Echo at 11 o'clock. It says a message. Here's a message for you. It says, it is 11 o'clock and Bailey is here. And so every day at 11 o'clock, and sometimes I forget, and there comes on again. And she told her dad, she told her granddad before she left, I forgot all about the message until it came. She said, I left you guys a message on the Echo. And so she told her, and she said, it's going to mean that I'm here in the spirit. I said, shut your mouth. My little baby, she's something else. And I keep praying that the what's in her will continue to grow, because while she was here, just watching her just being so happy about singing and worshiping, she wanted me to send her that song, Only One Night Though. She wanted her mom to know Only One Night Though, and she does her little heads like this, Only One Night Though, and it's so cute. But I just thank God for what she got out of that, and what she got out of being here. And God has kept telling me over my children, over my grandchildren, believe in the seed. Believe in the seed. No matter what I see, no matter what they're going through, no matter what they do or don't do, believe in the seed, because the seed is greater. And I want to tell you, as parents, believe in the seed. So this morning, one of the things that we want to do is we're going to pray for the children as they go back to school. And last night while I was sitting and I was thinking about the kids going back to school, God brought this thought to me that I'd wrote down a long time ago. And the thought was about that when Moses' mother, she put Moses in a basket because the king had made a decree that he was going to kill all the men child. But this mama said, not my child. And as soon as that came through my spirit, not my child, I thought, how many of us are saying, because the same devil that wanted to kill Moses is the same devil that wants to kill our children, kill their dreams, kill their destinies, kill their innocence. And how many of us are really saying, not my child? And not my child to the point that she didn't just say, not my child with her voice. She did something about it. She made him a basket where he would be carried and covered for protection of God so that he would not be killed. And I thought about it. I said, what are we caring, making for our children so that they would be carried and covered? I pray that we are making prayer important in their lives. I pray we are making the word of God important in their lives. There's going to be a lot of things that's so exciting about school, you know, friends and games and all these, you know, different things that they can be a part of. But parents, don't you dare forget that they need to be carried and covered. They need to be carried, navigated through school, and carried by the grace of God. We got to say, not. And as I said, well, none of my grown-up children are in school, but my grandbabies are in school. Not my child. Not my child. How many is going to stand this morning with me and say, not my child? You can stand with me right now. If you, not my child. Somebody might, not my godchild, not my niece, not my nephew, but not my child. And I'm going to make sure that they are carried and covered in the grace of God. They're covered by the knowledge. You guys, give them knowledge. God said, just don't send them off to school without knowledge. They're going to confront so many different ideals. They may confront bullying. They may confront suicide. They may have all these things come up against them. Some of them may be just discouraged because of friends. Some may be discouraged because they don't understand the work that's given to them. Some of them might feel depression, but we're going to have to say, not my child. My child is going to be carried and covered under the blood of Jesus, under wisdom. We perish because of a lack of knowledge. Don't mama just have knowledge. Let daughter have knowledge. Don't daddy just have knowledge. Let son have knowledge. Let's pass that knowledge down to them so they are equipped, qualified, and ready as they go into the school. So can we have all the children come up? Pastor David's going to come up. Amen. Our elders and pastors will stand behind them. We're saying this morning, not my child. Our children will learn. Our children will be examples and lights. Our children will stand on what they know. They will not be shaken. They will not be moved. Our kids will not fall down over people that's saying things about them, are not liking them. They won't care because God loves them. And that means more to them than anything. Our kids will have confidence and assurance that they are not alone. Even when, remember when Moses' mama sent him down the stream, down that river, Moses' mama couldn't be with him. But God was. But God was. And I want you to know, as you go to school, mama and daddy, they may not can be with you. But God is. God is. And but you call on that name of Jesus in that moment. Come on. He is available. He is right there ready to help you at any time. Don't know the answer. Can't figure it out. Don't understand what the teacher's talking about. Call on the name of Jesus. God said he will give you wisdom and understanding. And he said he will give it to you liberally. Like he will give you it with a lot of it when you call on him. Lonely, call on the name of Jesus. Feel left out, call on the name of Jesus. Got a friend going through a problem, call on the name of Jesus. You got Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name. I want you, let me hear you guys say Jesus. Let me hear you say it louder.
Jesus.
Let me hear you say it like you're going to scare the devil.
Jesus.
There we go, baby. Come on, say it again.
Jesus.
Jesus, that's it. Call on, that's it, baby. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord. He will come to your rescue. He will come to be your very present help in the time of trouble.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Children, the Lord, unless he said the Lord is with you, Amen. And we truly believe that you are covered by his spirit,
yes,
by his presence.
Yes.
And we just want to lift you up, and not just you, but even the staff and the teachers.
Yes, yes,
that,
yes.
That the Spirit of the Lord would abide in, I don't care whichever school you go to.
Come on.
Because you're there.
You're there.
He's
come on,
there.
Come on.
And you got to know that and recognize that. So let's lift up our hands before
Thank
the Lord.
You.
Hallelujah. Father, in the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We come before you right now.
Yes, God.
Lord, and we thank you for who you are, God.
Thank you,
we thank
Jesus.
You for being our keeper, our protector, and our provider,
yes,
Lord.
God.
Lord, in your word you said, suffer the children to come unto you and forbid them not. So we lift up the children this morning, God.
Yes, God.
In your mighty name, hallelujah. As they prepare to go back into
thank
the schools.
You, Jesus.
Lord, we pray right now, Lord, your divine hand of protection.
Yes, God.
Lord, covering them, not just from physical harm, but mental and emotional
yes,
distress
God.
And harm, God. We cover them right now, Lord, that they would feel
thank
at peace,
you.
Lord, in the school, God, because of
yes,
your presence
God.
In their lives, Father. We cover them right now, hallelujah, God, that no harm would come upon them in the name
yes,
of Jesus.
God.
And Lord, that even we lift up their studies, God, Lord, that you would quicken their minds, Lord,
yes,
that they would make
Lord.
The grades, God, that would bring make them proud,
yes,
Lord, as
God.
They study their courses, Lord. And Lord, we lift up these teachers, Lord, yes. that they would have godly
Jesus.
Teachers in their class, God. Lord, we stand against those things, Lord,
yes,
that are
God.
Taught that are not of you. Lord, we ask you that you would close their ears, Lord,
yes, God.
To not hear and not receive untruths, God. Lord,
yes,
but they
God.
Would understand your word, hallelujah, and it would cover their learning and their
thank
understanding
you,
in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Lord, we pray for the
yes,
school
God.
Administrators, God, and everyone that works at the schools. Lord, those in the cafeteria, God, the janitorial
yes,
staff,
God.
The maintenance
Come
staff,
on.
All those in the schools, God,
thank
that they
you,
would
God.
They would also protect these children, God,
yes.
and watch over them, God.
Thank
Think
you,
about
Jesus.
Their welfare and their good, Lord. Lord, that they will be able to go to and fro. We pray for
thank
them as
you,
they
Jesus.
Travel on the school buses, Lord, or walking
yes,
over. They're going to and from.
Protect
school, Lord,
God.
That your hand
yes,
would be
God.
Upon them, God, that it would nothing awry would come across their
they
course.
Them,
Father,
God.
We just cover them in the name
yes,
of Jesus.
God.
Have your way in them, God. Let
thank
them be
you,
able
Jesus.
To go and receive instruction, Lord,
yes,
that is
God.
Wholesome, instruction that prepares them for life.
Yes,
hallelujah.
God.
In the name of Jesus, we know you're able.
Thank
and
you.
We thank you right now, Lord. And I lift up the parents
thank
before you.
God.
Lord, that the parents will be attentive, Lord. That they will be involved in their school.
Amen.
Involved in their lives, God. Involved
yes,
and know
God.
What's going on with them, Lord. We pray for the parents to have patience, Lord.
Yes,
as
God.
They struggle through different things, Father, Lord. That they would be able to speak
thank
into their
God.
Lives and give them hope and strength and understanding, Lord. So
thank
we let
you,
say,
Jesus.
Let it be done. Let all these things be done. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank amen. You. Amen. Let it be so. Let it be so. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We have one more prayer I want to do this morning. I'd like to call Robert and Katya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. It was as my face was in the chair that I didn't like, but thank God for the creation of the chair that I had to hold my face down. But it was in there that different people would just come up and the prayers for them would just come out. And the prayers over you guys. You guys may not know, but Katya is going to be due in about 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Baby's coming. 3 weeks. Baby's coming out to this world. Come on. And we want to pray and pray over both of them. You know, the weeks that those weeks up to gets so exciting and, you know, different things happen in the body. But we want to pray just total peace.
Amen.
And that these next 2 weeks, you would feel joy like you never felt before. Joy of expectation. Of this wonderful gift, this wonderful miracle that God is bringing into the world that has so much promise and so much destiny. And we want to pray over you and Robert that even in this time that God is growing you closer together, even during this time, and we're praying for all the goodness of God, all the goodness of God to just be upon this child. Pray in the name of Jesus. Want to come down? Thank you, Jesus. Do I have any mommies who want to come up here with me?
Thank you,
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we just thank you. Father, it's you that has ordained this child. This blessed hope, oh God. You, God. And we ask right now, God, you who creates in the womb, God. We ask, God, that you put the finishing touches on this little miracle. Oh, God, you bring every part into its created order, God. Oh, God, allowing everything to align with your word. Oh, Father, we ask right now for the health of the mom, the strength of her body, God, as she goes through the part, God, of delivering this baby. Prepare this body, God. Prepare every part of this body. Her mind, God. Her heart, God. Her body, God. Her spirit, God. Prepare her, God, as she delivers this child into the world. God, may there be great peace, God. God, there be no anxiety, that there be no anxiety in the name of Jesus. No worry, God, but just peace in the name of Jesus. God, she rests, God, that you have planted the seed within her, God, and God, you will bring it forth in Jesus' name. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, let her heart be full of joy, God. Let her lips be full of praise, oh, God. God, we ask right now prayer over her husband, God, that, God, in these next couple of weeks, God, you will give him wisdom, the compassion, the concern that's needed, God, for these next weeks, oh God. In the name of Jesus, you will show him what to say. You will show him what to do. You will show him how to respond. You will show him how to touch. You will show him, God, what she needs in the name of Jesus. Cover them both right now. Cover them both and baby with the blood of Jesus Christ. Let nothing harmful come nigh them. And God, we praise you right now in advance. We give you glory right now in advance. We rejoice, God, before we even see this baby's face. We rejoice, God, over this child in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for this beautiful gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, God. God is a good God. He's concerned about everything that we're concerned about. And he sees everything that we're going through. And he wants to be a part of it all. Do you understand? He never wants us to walk alone. He wants to be a part of it all. And I'm so happy to see my brother Michael here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Another miracle in the house, you guys. As we keep watching and watching God keep adding on days and adding on strength. What the doctors may say or what they may think, there is a higher thought, you guys. And we just thank God that you're here. And we thank God that every time I think of you, I hear the song, live, live, live. And I want to say that over the whole congregation. Live. Live in your marriage. Live with your children. Live with your husband. Live in your health. Live in your finances. Because God said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. Let's grab hold of the more. Let's talk about the more. Come on. Let's think about the more. What we talk about the most is what's really in our heart. And if we're talking about lack and loss, that's what's in our heart. So let's start talking about life. So that life can come to all the areas that we need life to come to. So glad. I'm going to say one more thing. Crystal, I want to tell you something, Crystal. I've been noticing, and Crystal, I think it was, I didn't see you at the park. I know. Pastor David let me know emphatically you was there. And I said, I didn't see Crystal at the park. And he said, yes. But Crystal, I'm so glad to see you. I want you to know that from the bottom of my heart. I'm so glad to see you. and just been missing you and just glad to see you in the house of the Lord. And I'm just asking God to bless you, to continue to bless you in your health, to strengthen you in areas where you've been hit. But God's got strength for you. Come on, he's got strength. Thank you for the courage that we have sometimes to go past the things that we're going through, to keep on moving. God says that takes great courage. And so I'm just thanking God for her being here. Thanking God, I want to say, too, is for all the lovely people that made meals for me and Lehani. Oh, you guys, that's just such a blessing. Thank you guys for the meals. The thought, you guys, sometimes you don't know what to do. But let me tell you, you have a basket. And I'm telling us all, we have a basket. And all around us, there are things that we think is very, very small. But that small thing is a blessing. Sometimes you think, I don't have that, or I don't have this. Or I can't bless because a phone call, a text, a smile, God, a hug. Those kind of things bless when people are going through. So you just look in your basket and stop saying what you don't have. God wants y'all to really get this. Stop saying what you don't have and use what you have. Okay, use what you have. I'm praying for generous givers in the house of the Lord. You know why I'm praying for generous givers? Because generous givers will be generously blessed. So I'm praying for generous givers in the house of the Lord. Look for ways that you can bless your neighbor, bless your friend, bless your sister, bless your... Look for ways, because God loves generous, he loves cheerful givers. And he will bless. So we just thank God. We're getting ready for our word this morning. After we do our offering. Amen. Thank you, Pastor David. And our offering. Who's doing our offering this morning? Oh, it's Reverend June. Okay. Thank God for Reverend June. Guys, say bless Reverend June right now. Amen.
Praise be to God. How y'all doing this morning? Y'all blessed? Glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Me too. Amen. Blessed by his grace. Amen. It's always a blessing to be able to come in and be in the fellowship of the saints. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you right now. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, God, that you've given us. Lord, in this opportunity to come together and gather in your name. Lord, and we thank you for that we can come and worship together and lift up that name, God. Lord, and we pray right now, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to hear and to receive your word, God, as you speak to us, Lord. Let us examine ourselves, Lord. Let us not pass it off to another person, Lord, but, Lord, looking at ourselves, it's me. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me that needs to check myself. It's me that desires to grow and to come closer to you, God. It's me, Lord, that wants to be able to overcome the obstacles that come against me on every single hand. So we pray right now, Lord, that we would grab hold of your word, Lord, and apply it to our living, God. We thank you for each and every one here. We thank you for those online, God. Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come and share, Lord. So move me out of the way, Lord, and use me according to your word, according to your will, your timing in the lives of your people as well as myself, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Speak to us right where we are, God. Lord, and we'll give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. We got so much to be grateful for. So much, amen. I just, you know, the more I think about, you know, the more I think about being grateful, the more grateful I become. Amen. Just in how God has been so good in so many areas, as Pastor Linda was saying, we were initially trying to see if we can get her surgery done prior to our travel, but God knew better. Yes. Amen. He knew what we didn't know. He knew what the doctors didn't know. Amen. So once they got in there and put that gas bubble in there, that grounded her for the next couple of months. Amen. While that thing dissipates. So we thank God that he is a way maker. Amen. He's a promise keeper. Amen. And we give him praise right now. Ain't it good to be in the house of God? Amen. They just come and, you know, after all the things. Anybody had challenges this week? Man, just wave your hand if you had any challenges this week. You know, just so, but you got through it. Amen. Amen. And we're here. Amen. It hasn't stopped you. It might be still going on in some way, but it hasn't stopped you. All right. Amen. It hasn't stopped me. I'm here. Amen. And you know, we just thank God. You know, as I was meditating on the word for this week, you know, the one thing, you know, God has a way of just doing things to me and with me. But this one word, he just wouldn't. I mean, for the last couple of weeks, it's just been in my mind, amen. And it's the word why. Why? You know, I'm like, why? Why, why? You know, but it's just so I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. And as I sit down and begin, you know, meditating and then drafting, you know, the message, it just begin to unfold. More and more, you know, because we got to ask that question. You know, we gotta have an understanding of why. Amen. Because why is important. And that just opens the door for a whole lot of things. Isn't that right? I mean, I know back in March the 12th, I spoke on the message, Why Church? But this is coming from a whole other way. Amen. Because, you know, sometimes we got to figure out why church. You know, and we know the word why is just not, it's a one-word question. It's an interrogation, amen. It's a challenge, amen, when we ask, certain times we're asked why, and you ever been asked why and you didn't want to answer? Or better yet, you didn't have an answer. Not just didn't want to answer, because if you answered truthfully, you'd be exposing yourself, right? So, and you know, at least you know why, but you don't want to say why. But when you don't have an answer to why, we need to do some work. Amen. So we're gonna look at this. It's not the same as why church, but you know, we want to probe into this a little bit closer and bring it closer to home. Right. Amen. It's for an internal, personal search within ourselves, a review of why we do what we do. I mean, sometimes we do things, don't even think about it. Right. Or we do things just because other people are doing it. Right? You know, but, you know, today, you know, why do you do what you do? y'all thinking already. I mean, why are you here this morning? Because it's Sunday. Because we're supposed to be in church. Because it's a routine. Or a habit? Why? I just want to say a desire, Elder Willie. But why do you do the job that you do? Think about it. For money. Because if it wasn't for the money, you wouldn't be doing the job. Right? Well, I mean, unless you're doing a job that you enjoy doing and you just get paid for it. I mean, that's like getting, you know, practicing your hobby and getting paid, you know. So, but think about why. I mean, why do you spend time doing whatever it is that you do? You know, I mean, this one here might hit home, but why do you call yourself a Christian and not fully live out biblical principles? Don't say ouch. You tell on yourself. In every area of your life. I'm a Christian, but God understands. Yes, he does. He understands very well. Amen. But why is it that we are? Sometimes, you know, one of the places that I'm going to go, but not today, but why do we even exist? You know, I told you it's a probing question, amen. Why do you think the way you think? Amen. And we got to ask ourselves over and over again. And, you know, sometimes we have children, you know, little toddlers, they're good at asking what?
Why?
And, you know, you give them an answer, you think you done answered them, only to have them ask why again. I'm not saying so. You know, but, you know, they're inquisitive. You know, they want to know because they realize they things that they see just don't make sense. You know, so it's a good thing to ask why. For a child to ask why means they want to learn and they want to understand. But the problem is that as we get older, we stop asking why. Maybe it's because we think we know it all, you know, or we got it all figured out. So we stop asking why. A lot of times we stop asking ourselves why. And we just fall into a mode of going and doing and just following along and without really understanding why. You know, but when I look at the passages in the Word of God, the Scripture is full of reasons why, especially for the Christian. You know, it's full of reasons why, amen. And if we don't take time to figure out why, amen, then we're just kind of going through life, you know, and whatever happens, happens. Just whatever the flow is, amen. And we're going through life blindly and without purpose and without cause, amen. And we're easily moved and easily changed because we don't really have a solid why we're doing what we're doing. So the next exciting thing or the next shiny thing or the next opportunity that sounds good, we're on it because we didn't have a why for the last one. You know, so that looks better. You know, so I'll go there. That sounds better, so I'll do that. You know, but why? You know, when I look at this passage of Scripture in 1 Peter, you know, I want us to see, this is one of the places I was looking at last night, even as I was going over it. I was like, wow. It said, finally, 1 Peter 3:8-15. I want to read this in your hearing, and I want you to pay attention to what he's saying. He said, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. He's given us things to do, amen? But he goes on, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. He said, know what you're called to. Oh, he's talking to the Christians. He said, this is how we ought to act. This is, you know, how we ought to be purposing ourselves. And he's going to get to the why. We're going to get to the why. He's laying it out here. Amen. Whereunto you're called that ye should inherit a blessing. You say, now, these things, you be courteous, you be kind, you be all these things, you know, not doing evil for evil, railing for railing, you know. He said, you inherit a blessing. But then he goes on, knowing that ye are, what? That you inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. And his lips that they speak no God. And that says, you know, his, but he's talking about all of us. Amen? You know, from God, in other words, evil speaking, you know, guile. Can I drop the word gossip in there too? Let me move on. Amen. Let him eschew evil. That means detest or despise evil and do good. Let him speak peace and ensue it. Wow. Seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We're still talking about what? Okay? And who is he that will harm you if ye be believers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, now notice how he said that. But and if. In other words, it's going to happen. Okay? You suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Now, wait a minute. Everybody ever gone through something and you knew you was right? You knew you hadn't done nothing and you were happy because you was going through it? I mean, that don't even make sense. He said, if you suffer for righteousness, the happier ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. In other words, just be happy. You know? Count it all joy. Amen. So when we eat, he's saying, if you understand the why, even when things are coming against you, come on. Because you understand the why, yes, right. Even when things are coming against you, you can still be happy. You're not so easily shaken because you're rooted and grounded in truth. You know, but see, we're gonna work on it because I want us to understand, amen, if you have the why, you ain't worried about what. Because why got you. So when what happens, all things work together for the good. Because I have a why. Amen, and it's rooted in the right place. So we need to understand that. He said, don't even be troubled by your trouble. You know, I heard someone preach years ago, trouble your trouble.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Huh? So how you do that? Take it to the Lord. Amen. Put God on that trouble.
Come on now.
That trouble got trouble. Because you belong to him. Mm-hmm. Amen. If you just trust him and believe his word. 15th verse says what? Be sanctified. But sanctify, that's what it didn't seem right, that's why I paused. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. He said, be ready to have an answer. So when they asked you why you take all that, why are you still smiling when all hell is breaking loose in your life? Why are you still have peace when you ain't got no money? See, if you don't have a why, see, you got to have an answer. I'm going through. You know, we used to sing crazy songs like that. I don't declare that in those songs. I got peace. Amen. So we look at this. He said that we should have an answer of the reason. What? When someone asked you why you're a Christian, oh, you really want to know? Huh? But, you know, I looked at that 15th verse in the Amplified Bible, and it says it like this. But in your heart, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. See, don't just let him be your savior. See, some Bibles, a lot of times, we just want a savior. Save me, Lord. But we don't even be the Lord. Because when we acknowledge him as Lord, we got to say, yes, Lord.
Yes.
We got to recognize that he has ownership. He has authority in our lives. He said, acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully.
Right?
Because you got to why. You ain't got to get all wound up. You know, you should be able to have peace, amen. Why are you always smiling, Christian? You just answered your own question. If I understand my why.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
And then in the message, it says it like this. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention. In adoration before Christ, your master. Oh, someone didn't like that word. Yep. whether you like it or not, he is the king. He's the master. He said, your master, be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asked you why you're living the way you are. So he said, why are you living like that? Why do you conduct yourself? Why you don't do everything everyone else is doing? Why are you? See, they want to know why. But if they don't see nothing different, they're not going to ask the why. Hello. If you look just like everybody else, live like everybody else, they ain't going to begin to wonder what's different about you. But see, when they begin to ask you, because it's just not your words, but it's your conduct. It's your speech. It's your character. And they begin to see all those things. They begin to wonder, what is it about you that's different? You know, and when they ask, he says, you know, that when they ask that question, we should have an answer. Amen. And he says, and always with the utmost courtesy. In other words, be courteous. Because I'm not living like no heathen like you. That ain't courteous. That ain't loving. Right? That's not shining no light. That's throwing someone in the pit. You know, so he said, let's be courteous and let's understand these things. You know, because if we haven't sat down and given some time to truly define our why, I mean, just sit down and do it. Say, okay, I need to understand, why is it I do what I do? See, a lot, like I say again, I'll say it again, a lot of us do things in our life and we haven't even questioned why. We just doing it. Just doing it. You know, and it's just not just about church. Other things in our life, we just doing it. Haven't given it any thought, why do I do this? Why do I act like this? Where did this come from? What is it in me that's causing this? You know, but we need to actually take time, amen, as we move through life. We want to do it, amen, with understanding and purpose, amen. Because if we don't understand our why, we'll go through life unclear and aimless, amen, and wasting time. You know, one thing I learned years ago, amen, when you invest your time in something, let it be a purpose-related endeavor. Why would I spend 4 years going to college, amen, to learn how to do something I'm not going to apply? Right. All right. Amen. Wasting my time. But see, I'm aimless. How many people have gone through college and halfway through, or even at the finish, decide, I don't want to do that no more? Change their major 2 or 3 times. Huh? Hello? A lot of people. Because they haven't written, they have never sat down and figured out, why am I doing this? Why do I want to be that? Why? Because it's a lot of money. Let me tell you something right now. Money is not always a reason to do something. Right? Amen. Because, and I say, your why can't be about money. Because that won't keep you. It'll give you a lot of stuff, but we all know of people who had a lot of money and were still unhappy. A lot of money and still don't know God. A lot of money, amen, and still getting divorced and taking their lives and, you know, on drugs and strung out, all kind of money. But so obviously money ain't the answer. So if your pursuit, your why is the money, you're still aimless. Because when the money run out, you lost. And when you do get the money, then what? You're just going to be more a mess. Because you don't know what to do with it. Amen. But if you understand, amen, why, then God can use that, those resources that he blesses you with, to be a blessing, to have purpose behind it, to actually do. So we want to move, amen. We want to move through life with understanding. We want our time, amen. The Bible tells us to redeem the time. In other words, make good, full use of the time. Amen. Don't just waste it. Don't waste this life. So many people are wasting their life, amen, because they don't know why they're here. They don't know why they're doing the things that they do. And I want to provoke us this morning, amen, to think about that God gave us life for a reason. He gave us life for a purpose. You know, Jeremiah, he said, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Amen, of good and not evil. Amen. He said you were formed and shaped in your mother's womb, amen. I knew you before you came. He had a purpose and a plan for our lives, amen. But see, if we don't consult him, we never will figure out why. You know, it's just like many of us, amen, myself included, amen, will buy a new car, a phone, a computer, and never read the owner's manual. Right? Turn it on. I got this. You don't know half what it was designed to do. Amen. You ever been, you know, and you discover something new that's been there the whole time, amen, by accident. Because you never figured out, sit down and figure, why did they put so much in this phone? Or why did they give me a manual for this new beautiful car and I never read it? Just sit down. You might say, I've been doing that all these times, and I could have been. I didn't know my car had adaptive cruise control until I, you know, and we don't pause and read the manual so we can get full use. What am I saying? We don't pause and read the Bible so we can understand the manufacturer's intentions. We look and we say, I got this. I know what I'm doing. You ever have someone take your phone and do stuff with it you never even knew was possible? Just talk to your kids. Huh? We need to understand, amen, why? We look at, you know, let's look at Proverbs 29 and 18. He said, where there is no vision, and it's King James, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In other words, well, we don't have no vision, no purpose, no plan. We're just wasting our time. We'll perish away. But if we keep the law, if we understand the word of God, if we understand our purpose, amen, happy. Because now we know where we're going and we know what we're doing, amen, and we're not just going around. And the message says it like this. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. I didn't write that, okay? But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most happy. But blessed. Well, I'm gonna be happy too. It said blessed. Amen. But now he said that. We stumble all over ourselves because we don't even know. Why? We don't know what was the plan. Why is a reason we do what we do? Why do we do it? Why do we choose to make the choices we make? Amen? You know, when you've identified your why, you can feel a sense of purpose, a drive, a direction, of believing in something that's greater and bigger than yourself. Amen. You know, I sit down, and when I first did this, you know, looking at my why, you know, and I went through an exercise I'm going to share with you. Amen. When I got down to it, I was like, wow. On the surface, I would have never thought it like that. On the surface, I would have never understood the depth of my why and why I did it. You know, and the other thing I found out was when I really go through the exercise, my why is not just about me. My why is not just about me. And when you get to that place, that's why I say it can be bigger than yourself, amen. And it can include and bless other people, amen. When you understand your why, you become energized and you can overcome all kinds of obstacles, amen, because of your depth of understanding, amen, your depth, amen, that moves you and motivates you, amen, to continue to move forward through life because you know why and you know that there's things that's going to come against you to try to stop you. And now you understand why it's coming against you. Because you have a purpose. Amen. And you're seeking out a destiny. And your why can become a passion that keeps you moving no matter what kind of winds blowing or what kind of things. Amen. But it can't be, again, it can't be about money. Amen. It's not about status. Amen. But it's about understanding. So we can fulfill our purpose, our God-given purpose. It's about understanding, amen, at a deeper level than just surface going through life. for, you know, just fulfilling our wants and our needs. And no, it's greater than just that. God said he'll do that for you. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if you don't have no understanding, amen, you know, the state will take care of you. Huh? But we want to get to a place, amen, to where we can be a blessing to others. Get to a place where we can be a help to others, amen. And it's not always just financial. See, sometimes we just get locked in on that. Amen. But there's so many other ways that we can be a blessing and a help to other people, amen. As we expand our understanding of our purpose, amen, and understand the purpose that God wants to use us in this realm or that situation or this situation, is because we have a greater understanding than just trying to live day to day and get 3 meals and some sleep. Life is more than just that. And he's put more in every single one of us. And we wanna bring it to fruition. We wanna cause it to blossom in us, amen. That people are drawn to you because you become that person that's inspiring, that person that has understanding, that person, amen, that is uplifting. You know, nobody wants to be around a deadbeat. Anybody like to hang around people who put you down all the time? How about hanging around with somebody that is always negative? Everything that come out their mouth, oh, I'm going through this, and oh, my toe hurts. And, you know, we just everything. There's no positivity in their conversation. Their whole aura is like, ugh. Do you want to hang around that kind of? No. You know, if we see someone like that, we can make it a mission to lift them up. Amen. We can make a purpose. Lord, let me help them to see there's good in life. But if you don't understand that yourself, you can't help nobody. You know, sometimes we are quick to jump on the woe is me bandwagon. Someone got to start going through it. Yeah, me too. You ever sit and listen to conversations sometimes? It just baffles me at times. Yeah, I be in a conversation. I'll be listening to a conversation. And the minute one person says they're going through something, the other person got to try to top it. You don't know. I know what you're talking about. You should have seen me. You know. And oh, y'all laughing because y'all probably some of them people. Comparing our woes, and you know, I can top that. You got a toe ache. I got two toes aching. You know, and we want to. No. Let me tell you what we can do for that toe. Let's pray on that joker. You know, let's believe God. Let's lift it up. Let's get some ointment. We're going to do something that's positive. We ain't just going to sit here and just, whoa. Your purpose, that's not part of your purpose. That's not part of your destiny. You know, and we got to check ourselves. Sometimes if we're not careful, you ever listen to yourself and catch yourself being negative? Hello? Just listen to yourself this week. Okay? Just listen to yourself. I mean, just, you know, sometimes we say things that's like, did that just come out of my mouth? As a child of God, did that just come out of my mouth? You know? But anyway, let me get back here. Amen. We got to understand what God has for us. Amen. We got to get, again, like that toddler and start asking questions, inquiring questions. Not just of others, but of ourselves. Amen. So that we can get an understanding, amen, of why. Why am I doing what I do? What is my why? What is my reason, amen, for what I'm doing, how I'm living? What is my reason for accepting where I am now? Uh-oh. I want to take a quick look at one of the leaders in the Bible, Nehemiah. Amen. And, you know, his whole journey started with a why. You know, and we look in Nehemiah, amen, in the second chapter of Nehemiah. And I want to read through verses 1-8, amen. Because it was just with a group of people, he was able to accomplish something, but he had a why. And starting at verse number 1, it said, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Therefore the king said unto me, why is your countenance sad? Started with a why. Why is your countenance sad? Seeing that thou art not sick, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to God. Now see, before he answered that question, that's one point, that point. I like that part. Before he answered, he prayed. And God helped him with his why. Amen. He prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto him, the queen also sitting by him, so she's checking this whole situation out too. For how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me, to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace that appertaineth to the house. And for the walls of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Now, I looked at this story, and I said, wow. It started with a why. Because he's wondering, why is the city torn down? And it's something in his spirit, the Lord gave him a desire, a reason, or why can't I do something about it? So he started this journey, but the king looked upon him. Amen. And now I looked at this. Now Nehemiah was in service of the king. In other words, Nehemiah was in bondage. Nehemiah was a servant. You know, and I looked at this story and I thought, one of the first people that came to my mind was Esther. She was in the king's palace and, you know, she thought she was good and safe, but y'all know the story. Many of you know the story. Amen. It came down to, if I perish, let me perish, but I'm going before the king. You know, so we look at him. God had placed him in a place where he could get some help. But he was humbled in a place of servants. And he was able to use that position to gain favor from the king, who supplied all his needs in order to build the house of God. Now, sometimes we feel like, oh, I got to serve like this. You don't know what God's setting you up for. I said, like he knows the plan. All you got to be willing to do is say, yes, Lord, follow the plan, trust him and believe him. Amen. And when the why and the question why comes up, now, the other thing I like about this passage is the king was the first one to ask why. And the other part I like about this passage is that Nehemiah had an answer. He said, why shouldn't my countenance be sorrowful? And he had a reason, because he's looking at the house of God, the walls of Jerusalem torn down, and it was vexing his spirit. What do we look around and see that bothers us that's not just about us? Uh-oh. So you was doing good, Pastor David. Now you meddling. Huh? What bothers us enough to want to do something, amen, and make a change and make a difference, amen, in the lives of more people than just myself? See, when we understand the why, it's bigger than just going to work, going home, going to sleep, going to work, going home, going. And I know y'all going to eat in there, so I didn't have to say that part. You know, but it's bigger than all those things. And God has a purpose and a plan. He's got things that every single one of us can engage. If we would just open our hearts and open our spirit, open our mind, amen, to the possibility that God might just use you on that job, in that neighborhood. Amen. God just might use you in that family. God just might use you, amen, if you just ask him why you want me to go over there, and then you search that why. Why am I doing this? Why did he save me? Just so I can say, I'm saved. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's it? Okay, what you doing with it? How you using it? Huh? Come on now. He's equipped you. He's empowered you. Did not Acts 2 and 38 say you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you? Power to do what? To shout? Power to complain? Power to build your own kingdom? Be witnesses unto me. So he's talking about power to do my work, power to represent me as a kingdom representative, power to move in the Holy Spirit, power to discern situations. Yeah, he's given us power, but what are we doing with the power? Where the power? I love Reverend Dawkins' message, you know, out of service. Yeah. And I know we've all seen the buses riding through town, right? That big old bus just serving one person. Hmm? 43, 50 passenger bus, just one person. At least you can give somebody a ride on your way to the garage. Right? But I look at us. All that power. Serving just one person. Stir up the gift. Stir it up. Why did he give you? Ask that question. Why did you give me power? Was it just for me? Is it just that I can lay hands and rebuke a headache? I mean, that's good, but there's more. There's so much more that he wants to do, amen, so much more, amen, he wants to bring forth. And Nehemiah went, amen, and he gathered the leaders and he gathered the people together, amen. And in the third chapter, it outlines everybody, amen, and all the places they did and all the ones that worked, amen. And it was amazing. But before he did that, amen, in verses 17 and 18, in that second chapter, he says this, "Then said I to them, you see the distress that we're in, O Jerusalem." Huh? He said, we see the distress. Amen. One version says, you see the trouble we're in. Trouble. Trouble. He said, you see, amen, how Jerusalem layeth waste and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we might be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us, let us, let us, let us rise up and build, so that they strengthen their hands for this good work. See, when you understand your why, you can provoke other people for a good why. You can lead them into purpose, amen, around you. Because why? You understand your calling and your purpose, amen, in life as a Christian, in your community, wherever we are, amen, in your family. Sometimes we feel, and I know dealing with family can be, whoo, a challenge. If I can say it just like that, a challenge. And we feel, we feel weak around family members. You know, it reminds me when Jesus went back to his home and they said, uh-huh. You know, he was trying to do some things, you know, and they said, ain't you the carpenter's son? Uh-huh. We knew you when you was knee high to a duck. Uh-huh. You know, and they began to despise him because they knew him as a child. Amen. And the Bible goes on to say, because of their unbelief, he could do no great miracles in their sight. He said he couldn't do any miracles except heal a few sick folk. Other words, because of their doubt, but don't let that diminish who you are. Huh? See, the Bible lets us know a prophet is not without honor in his own home. They may not receive you. But I will say it like this, let them hear about you. Let them see what you do for everybody else, and maybe they'll make a turn. Maybe they'll make up their mind and say, wait a minute, he ain't just Joseph's son. He ain't just Mary's baby. See, if you would just grab hold of the power that you have and understand why God has called you, why God has saved you, why God wants to use you, people will begin to take notice. And when they notice you, you can show them your God. When they notice you, you can lift him up, knowing that if it had not been for the Lord, if we understand why. We ain't just going through the motions. Why? Like I said, why are you here this morning going through the motions? No, I come to get provoked. I come to understand. I come to be encouraged. I come to be fed so I can go out and feed somebody else. If we understand our why, we're going to be challenged. Things are going to come against us, yes. But when you understand your why, amen, when they talk about you, when they try to tear you down, amen, when they try to tell you and all that, you know what you do as a child of God? You just think, I'm a duck. In this situation. You ever try to get a duck wet?
Come on now.
I say, you ever try to get a duck wet? Why they can float on the water and step out and be dry? Their feathers ain't soaked. Ain't none of that water stuck to them. And they just rolled off. Amen. Because they're a duck.
Come on, preacher.
Right? They got enough oil. Oh, don't.
Come on, preacher.
That it can't affect them.
Yes, yes.
I should say, you should have enough Holy Ghost. Amen. And all the stuff they pour on you don't affect you. But you just keep on walking. And you keep on smiling, and you keep on praising, and you keep on blessing them. And they wonder, well, why I can't get to him? Why I can't make her upset? She's a duck.
Come on, preacher.
You mind? When you understand your why, it sets you apart from everybody else. When you understand your why, it gives you strength, amen, and a tenacity to go where others are afraid to go. When you get it and you understand it, he said, but I don't want to miss this point as I get ready to wrap this up. You know, when he talked to the leaders and he told them, we in trouble, we in bad shape. And he said, let's build. He said, come, let us build. But he didn't say, let us build so we would no longer be in danger.
Amen.
He didn't say, let's build, amen, so we can keep foreigners out. He didn't say, let's build so we can be in a better economically improved condition. Amen. He didn't ask them to rebuild the walls to make a name for themselves. That would be like the Tower of Babel. Amen. He didn't come and say, let us build, amen, so we can be approved of God. He said, let us build that we will no longer be a reproach. See, so he's saying, let it build because it's not about us. It's about him. And when we're in this condition, amen, and we're not doing, amen, and we're allowing the house of God, amen, to be in the condition that it's at, it's a reproach to our God. So they built from beginning to end, amen, for his glory, not for themselves. That's why I say your why's got to be bigger than you. Amen. It's got to take you to a higher level, a higher place. Amen. And when you understand that, amen, he wasn't motivated by safety and security and finances and nationalism. Amen. He wasn't motivated by self-ambition. He was motivated by the word of God and bringing glory to God in his life. Because he understood. If I just please him, if I just bring glory to his name, everything else is going to be all right. Everything else will be taken care of. He said he feeds the sparrows. Amen. He clothes the lilies. Amen. And aren't you greater than they? He said he know you have need of the things you have need of, but let's be about our Father's business. That's our why. And I want us to really get to that place. Why? Then you can face the what. Huh? I said again, when you understand that, amen, you can face the what when you understand why. Amen. Now, I see, and the Holy Spirit just threw that to my mind. Now, we pray for our dear sister Katia over here. Katia. Amen. About to deliver the beautiful baby girl. Hallelujah. But knowing from conception, that delivery ain't going to be no fun. I know every mother in here understands it. Huh? I understand that because I've witnessed enough. Say, what are you saying, Pastor David? I understand why. She understand why she got to go through the pain. Why there's going to be some struggle. But the what is motivating her. She knows why I'm doing it because I want my baby girl. Amen. If we get to a place, amen, to understand that sometimes we got to go through some stuff. Hallelujah. To fulfill the why. See, sometimes I understand why everything's going to be a flowery bed of ease. Not so fast. You understand why that helps you to go through what you got to go through to get to where he wants you to get, to do what he wants you to do, to be who he wants you to be. You got to go through some things to get there. It ain't no, I mean, even as she was talking about the marriage, amen, amen, the 1 year marriage, woo, praise be to God. Accomplished a lot in that 1 year. Homeowners, remodeled, and just did a beautiful job. Amen. We just thank God. I wish we could have been homeowners in the first year. Right? But we're where we are because of who he is. But I look and I say, okay, good start. And you can have a good finish if you understand why. But if we don't understand why, every little hiccup, I'm talking to the couples. Every little hiccup, I'm ready to bail. Why did you marry him? Why did you marry her? Why did you have him? Well, we just, whoops, there it is. We got pregnant. Huh? Understand your why. It'll get you through your difficulty. Understand your why. It'll get you through the challenges of life. At the end, understanding why gets you through people talking about you. It helps us to stand and say, well, they don't get it. You know, I can't even go into how much we went through, man. We was blasted by the best of them. All up in the newspaper, everything else. And if we didn't understand our why, we'd have been done. Been gone. But it's greater than the Whoopi News Times. It's greater, amen, than anything somebody can utter out of their mouths, because he said. And once he said, that settles it. So as a child of God, I want us to take time to sit down and ask ourselves some questions. Nobody can answer it for you. You know, you, honey, what do you think my why is? He don't know your why. Now, y'all might do a separate, you know, a separate and say, what's our why? But you got to know your why before you can even get to our why. So just to recap, amen, he faced the situation. He saw the brutal truth, the facts that he was facing, that there were people that were against them. There was a lot of work to be done, but he didn't let that stop him.
That's right.
Nehemiah said, we're going to build it. Even though others talked about him and said, even the fox will knock that little wall down. But yet, they still stuck together to finish the work. And he got them together, amen. Men, women, children, priests, workers. It didn't matter, amen. They came and they did the work and they closed up the breaches, amen, of the wall because they understood why they were doing it. It wasn't for them. It was for the glory of God so that they, as a nation, would no longer be a reproach. And I say that, amen. That's a picture of the church. Men, women, children from all walks and all social economic statuses coming together to build God's kingdom, amen, so it was no longer a reproach, but everybody put their hand to the work. It didn't matter who they were. I'm above that. Or I don't understand that. Well, we'll help you get some understanding. But if we come together and work and build his kingdom, oh, help us, Holy Spirit. Help us right now. But first, you got to know your why. Why you do what you do. Amen. You gotta understand, amen, why, amen, and how you can do these things and bring glory and honor to God. If you have a why other than for his glory, you'll never find true joy in this life. Amen. We gotta be doing it for him. I said we gotta be doing it for him. Christ told him, amen, he said, if you lose your life for my sake, huh? Sometimes we want to get our life and then we'll give him a little piece thereof. He said, if you lose your life, amen, then you'll find it. And once you know that, then you got to understand the collective why. Why do we do what we do? Living Faith Christian Center. Amen. And our mission is living by faith, reaching the world. Amen. Our vision statement, and I'm going to read it, amen, verbatim here. It says, we purpose to honor God by impacting our world through an effective multicultural ministry which activates, empowers, and sends forth breakthrough believers as representatives in Christ for his kingdom. That's our collective why and what we want to accomplish. Amen. So the final thing that you got to do, find your why. Understand our why. And finally, find your place on the wall. Everybody got a part.
Yes.
Everybody got a part. You know, I love that whole story about Nehemiah in the third and the fourth chapter. Amen. How as they worked, amen, the enemies coming against them, and they had half of the people with swords and ready to work, and they had some workers, amen, they had a trial in one hand and a sword or a weapon in the other hand, working and ready to fight at the same time. Amen. They didn't let down because the enemy didn't stop working because it was a threat.
All right.
But they said, bring it.
Yes.
Bring it. We ready for you.
Yes.
Huh? It lets us know that there are people that will stand against you.
Yes.
They will stand against the church. Mm. But you got to understand your why. Why do you do what you do? Understand. The only thing that will keep you on the right path and the right track with the Lord is the level of your belief and relationship with him. Amen. Understanding why we live for him. Why we do the things that we do. So I've printed out a worksheet for each one of you. Looks like this. And you make copies because this will work in any area of your life. Why am I in this business? Why am I on this job? Why do I want to go to this school? Why? And what it is put a sample question up here, which I think is a great question to start with, by the way. Amen. And it says, why is your relationship with God important to you? And you answer that question in the box. And then you take that question and what you got from that answer, and you put it on the next line. So let's say, why is a relationship with God important to you? I might say, because I love the Lord. Okay, so my next question is going to be, why is it important to you to love the Lord? Yes. And when I answer that one, that answer goes to the next one. Yes. And you do that 7 consecutive times. And believe me, it don't get easier. But if you do it faithfully and consistently, prayerfully, it will help you find your why. It'll help you understand yourself. So do it. Work through it. And answer those questions. Like I say, you make some copies before you mess it up. Because you might have to start over again. Amen. Or you might want to say, ask other questions about your life, about your marriage, about your relationships, to understand why am I doing what I'm doing. Because if you don't understand you, who else is? Other than God, God knows. But we want us to understand why. It answers a whole lot of questions when you ask the right word, why. So if you're here this morning, amen, and you've been struggling with the area of why I do this and why I do that, and you just want to come for prayer, I invite you to come to the altar. Hallelujah. So to have understanding, the Bible said understanding will keep us. He said, with all our getting, get understanding. And I want us to understand ourselves. I want to understand in the light of God's word and his purpose over our lives. I want us to understand those things. Hallelujah. Maybe you didn't come up to the front, but you're still struggling with, why am I even here? Why did I come this morning? Why? You need to do the work. Because I can't answer it for you. You know, other than to say, I believe it was the Lord that drew you, it was the Lord that opened the door for you to be here. But even in that, he has a purpose. Why would he want you here? Amen. And we get some understanding. Let's reach our hands toward our brother Corey. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we stand with our brother Corey right now, God. Lord, as he's heard your word, Father, Lord, and those questions that are in his mind, Lord, we know that through prayer, God, and through some personal introspection, hallelujah, by the leading of your spirit, he will find the answers. Those answers that can help each one of us to be rooted and ground, Lord, not easily moved, not easily shaken. So we ask you right now, Lord, to meet him right where he's at. Lord, I pray that over each and every one of us, Lord, meet us right where we're at. Help us to understand our why. Lord, and we cancel every lie of the enemy, every deceit that has tried to come against his heart and his mind, Lord, and we cast down every doubt. Hallelujah. They try to cause him to question himself in a negative way. So we ask you, Lord, to meet him right here. Lord, as he even sits down to do the 7 layers deep, God, let your spirit speak to him. Let it lead, guide, and direct him, God, so he would have clarity like never before. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen.